Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today, we're starting a series of sermons on David, Israel's greatest king. And we start with David and Goliath. Now, to put this into context a little bit, the time frame would be back about 1,000 or 900 before Jesus. The Philistines are Greeks. They're people from the Greek islands in the Mediterranean who are coming into Israel and vying with the Israelites for control of the land. And they're sort of doing a number on the Israelites too. And this battle between David and Goliath really is a Greek custom where one warrior from each opponent comes out to battle. And I don't know, have any of you seen an old Brad Pitt movie called Troy? Yeah, it's about ancient Greece. And my wife loves that movie. Brad Pitt, throughout the whole movie, he runs around in a little skirt. She really likes that movie, yeah. But at the beginning of that film, at the very beginning, they have the Battle of the Champions, where Brad Pitt is called out to fight the opponent from the opposite army. Okay. So there is a very real Greek custom behind this. And I, because of its length, there's a lot here. I'm editing down a lot. Saul and the Israelites encamped in the valley of Elah and formed ranks against the Philistines. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. Then David took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream bed. He put them in his shepherd's bag in a pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. His sling is not the kind we use when we were little. It's one you see even today in those news films from Gaza where there's trouble on the border, where they're slinging a big sling over their head. That's what's referred to here. The Philistine came on and drew near to David. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome. He had red hair, ruddy and handsome in appearance. It's interesting, in the middle of the battle, the author mentions how good-looking David was. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." When the Philistine drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line and met the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Today we have the first in a series of sermons on David, Israel's greatest king. The Old Testament spends more time on David than it does on any other figure. And his story has been an inspiration and a fascination to men and women down through the ages. And you know, in Florence, there's that famous statue of Michelangelo's David. And he's ready to do battle with Goliath, just as Florence itself was standing up, like David, to the very powerful and aggressive city-states all around it. And artists from Rembrandt to Chagall and many more have depicted David in their art. Hollywood's gotten into the act. I don't know if there's a modern one at all, but there used to be Richard Gere and Gregory Peck were all David at one point or another. And Malcolm Gladwell, more recently, has a book where he gives his own spin to the story of David and Goliath. So this is a figure. If people don't know anything about the Bible, they usually know the story about David and Goliath, and that's where we are today. Remember the story? The two armies, the Philistines and the Israelites, come into the Valley of Elah. I think there was a movie by the name of that with Tommy Lee Jones a little while ago, actually, in the Valley of Elah, place of hatred and fear. And the two armies face one another. And a voice thunders over the field. And the voice says, "Send out somebody to fight me. If he beats me, you win. If I beat him, we win." And that sounded pretty much okay to King Saul until he looked out and saw where the voice came from. And there was this huge, huge guy with a sort of a Dwayne Johnson figure, all muscles. And just huge. And, you know, in our basketball, we've had Manute Ball. He used to play in Bridgeport. I think he was 7'6 or 7'7, something like that. Well, according to legend, Goliath of Gath, this giant of a man, was 9'6", and his armor alone was 150 pounds. Big deal. Okay. And at this point, you know, it says in the scriptures that, you know, Israel was just dismayed and very afraid, and with reason. Now, I suspect most of us have at some point in our lives been in that valley of Elah. And we've had our dealings with our own giants in that valley. And it could have been, death, the loss of someone we love or good friends. Could have been a business reversal. Could have been illness. Could have been a financial setback. There are all kinds of obstacles we have to face in life. And one of the big issues for us is how do we respond to the Goliaths we meet along the way? How do we respond? And I think in the story of David and Goliath, we have three players, really. One is King Saul. One is David's brothers. And the other is David himself. And this morning, I'd just like to look at those three responses, how they reacted. And as we go through them, see which one you might identify with this morning, or it may be a combination of them. Are you Saul, or the brothers, or David? Where would you place yourself today? Now, first we have Saul. Saul was not a small man, he was a big man. The scripture said he was head and shoulders above all the people. And he was experienced. He was battle-hardened. He'd been in combat. But when he looked out at this giant Goliath of Gath, I mean, it was just jaw-dropping. He was just traumatized. He couldn't give his people the kind of direction and leadership they needed in this moment of peril. Just traumatized. Couldn't put thoughts together. Now, I suspect that if he had looked back on his own history, he might have received some guidance, because he'd been in battle before. He was a combat veteran. He knew what things were about. And sometimes, you know, when we are facing the obstacles of life, it's helpful just to look back, because those giants have been there before. And we've come through. And sometimes we've learned a thing or two in the process. When Patty and I were coming back from Africa, if you can imagine this, we came into temporary housing in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, just behind Franklin and Marshall College. And it was wintertime and everything. And we were a young family. And right around Christmas time, these things always happen at Christmas time, I got a letter saying, "When are you going?" And that was a Goliath for us. That, you know, here we were, a young family, young children, no job, and we were in danger of losing the roof over our heads. Goliath. But you know, we got through that okay. And when Goliath comes in life now, we think back about those hard times. We came through. And again, sometimes, you know, how we handled things well back then applies to where we are now. But Saul wasn't much help at all in this situation. He was just frozen. And he's probably the last person we would expect to act that way. He just couldn't lead when the nation was in peril. Then we have the brothers of David. And they are sort of, put your head in the sand. That, you know, here Goliath was walking back and forth across the field, you know. "Come on, you guys, send somebody out to fight me. Are you chicken? Come on." And the brothers pretend they don't hear it. You know, maybe if they don't pay attention, it'll go away. But Goliath never goes away, does he? And David, at this point, you know, is a shepherd. He's a young shepherd boy in Bethlehem, watching over the family's sheep. And the mother has made some chocolate chip cookies, and she wants David to take the care package to her sons in the army. So David goes with the care package, and while he's there visiting his brothers in the army, he hears Goliath of Gath mocking Israel, taunting Israel. And he says to his brothers, "What's this? Don't you hear this guy calling you a bunch of sissies? And the brothers say, you know, you're just a kid. Leave this to the adults. You go back to the sheep where you belong. This is not your thing. They put their heads in the sand. They try to deny reality. And that's often the way we are tempted to respond to the Goliaths of our lives. Deny reality. You know, with the warmer weather and everything, I was getting out. Of course, today doesn't count, but with the warmer weather, I was getting out my summer clothes, and I discovered it was kind of tight getting into them again. And I denied reality. And when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, it's not Brad Pitt staring back at me. The denial of reality is a temptation. And you know, it has serious consequences. We've all seen on the news, you know, people who are taken in with the idea that measles vaccines are harmful. And what's happened, you know, the measles, which was wiped out in this country pretty much, has come back. But there are people who firmly believe that vaccines are harmful, even though all the evidence is to the contrary. And there are people who deny climate change, though all the evidence is to the contrary. The brothers of David are an example of the denial of reality, which is a real temptation again for us all when we meet those obstacles in life. But it didn't do the brothers any good, and it doesn't do me any good, it doesn't do any of us any good. So we have Saul, who's just traumatized by fear, can't respond, can't lead. We have the brothers, head in the sand. Someone once said, the most dangerous words in the English language are, maybe it'll go away. And then there's David. And David is for fighting giants. You know, a lot of people in the Bible say, hey, not me. David is just the reverse. He's full of confidence. Here I am, send me. But you know, this confidence isn't shared by everybody. His brothers, even Goliath, think he's the wrong person for the job. They don't have any confidence in him at all. He's a loser. And it's well to remember, what was it, about 2 weeks ago? Everybody in baseball was wearing the number 42 in honor of Jackie Robinson, who was the person who broke the color bar in sports. And he went on to accomplish great things. He was a very distinguished person. But in the beginning, in 1947, they ran him through it. They were as mean as they could possibly be. They were as racist as they possibly could be. And yet he didn't give in to the naysayers. He went on and achieved. And it's the same with David. He did not give in to the naysayers who said, you're the wrong person. He went on and took on the task. Now, if you can figure, just picture this giant Goliath with all his 150 pounds of armor and all the rest. Dwayne Johnson, magnified, supersized. And here he looks down, and the Israelites are sending out their challenger against him, and it's a kid. And Goliath is just insulted. Is this what they think of me? That they send out, they don't even send out a man against me, they send out a kid? I'm offended. And he says to David, I'm going to chop you in pieces and feed you to the birds. And at this point, you know, David has his slingshot. He has the weapons he used as a shepherd boy. And again, he's taking this thing around his head, and then he flings that stone, and it hits just below the bronze helmet. And all of a sudden, the giant's knees give way, and he falls. And great was the victory of Israel that day. David faced up to his giant. There's something else about this man, another quality that comes through here. You know, the giant says, you know, I'm going to cut you into little pieces. And David says, you come to me with sword and javelin and so forth, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And this man, though he's hardly perfect, is a very religious man all the way through. He takes God very seriously. And, you know, later in life, he writes that 23rd Psalm about, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David, as a boy, watching over the sheep out in the fields around Bethlehem, knew the reality of God. And he knew God's presence as he was taking on the lion and the bear and everything else. These animals were all in that area at the time. You know, when David took on that giant, and he was for fighting giants, what happened was that there was a dawn of a new era in Jewish history. There was a time of glory ahead. And they had been struggling. They were almost at the point of extinction. But a new time of glory lay ahead. And it may be, as we face our giants, that a new stage in our lives may be just ahead of us. A good one. Now, who do you identify with this morning? Saul, traumatized? The brothers, head in the sand? Or David, taking on giants? I don't know about you, but I'm for taking on giants. And I think, like David, you should too. Take on those giants. Amen.